My guest this morning on the line is Professor Roy van Brummelen. And Roy is a pharmacist by training. He's also extraordinary professor in the Faculty of Health Sciences, Tshwane University of Technology, and he is in charge of pathology laboratory testing. Is that kind of right, Prof?
Yes, good morning, Errol.
Good morning.
Thank you for the opportunity. Yes, we've got actually a more full-time at Institute of Pharmaceutical Services, which is a laboratory which basically does quality testing of products on the market. So, and also research. So we do research projects for different companies and different institutions regarding health issues and specifically treatment.
So are you one of those people in a white coat who bends over a microscope all day looking at little slides and samples?
Well, I'm forever the student, I normally say.
You are the guys who are the backbone of the whole business, aren't you? Because you are the people who will find out what the facts are and what needs to be done, as opposed to people who kind of theorize about things. You are the people who really find out the facts, yeah?
Yes, well, to a large extent, you, of course, go into the research and also see what's happening worldwide. So we depend largely also on research and research institutions all around the world, and especially at the universities, where there's often also a lot of excellent research taking place in different fields. So we do some of our own research, but also link up with the universities worldwide to see the type of research that's happening there.
You know, the one thing that strikes me, Prof, is the amount of information that must flow around the planet on research. I mean, you must spend a lot of time reading up what other people are doing so you don't kind of reinvent the wheel.
Yes, I think in this whole era that we are living, it's literally an information era. There's just hundreds and thousands of publications and scientific research coming out almost on a daily type basis. And the big challenge is just to keep up to date of what's happening and to sift through the process, because also not everything that is published is necessarily correct. And sometimes some publications are even contradicting each other. So I always say for what you look at, there's probably almost the same amount of research confirming it, a fact, and then some of them contradicting it. And then you have to go into the actual research and make sure which has followed the right methodology, which applied the right science behind it to make sure to believe and whatnot.
Fascinating. All right, we're going to be talking to the Prof about the control and treatment of type 2 diabetes as incidence of it increases, and want to talk around that. But let me give you the numbers to dial: 011-883-0702, or you could SMS on 31702, or WhatsApp 072-702-1702. Talking about diabetes, any questions you have about diabetes or pathology, testing, blood tests, those kind of things, give us a call, and Professor van Brummelen will be able to help you. So, Prof, let's just look, first of all, at diabetes. Give us a definition. What is it, and why do we have type 1 and type 2, and what's the difference?
Yes, well, diabetes is one of the biggest problems worldwide. It's one of our biggest chronic diseases worldwide. It's currently estimated that it's affecting about 400 million people worldwide.
Wow.
And just in South Africa, you're looking at a figure of about 2.3 million adults that's probably affected by diabetes. Now, one of your biggest problems is not just the figure that 2.3 million South Africans is probably affected by it, but you're looking at that's probably more than 50% of them has not been diagnosed. In other words, they do not know that they've got diabetes. And that's with, like with many other diseases, where your biggest problem lies. So if someone has got a disease and they don't know it or they don't realize it, they're at a much higher risk of complications or even death if often they do the wrong thing, eat the wrong thing, and they don't realize that they've got the disease. Mm. Diabetes is largely classified into three different groups. You've got the type 1, type 2, and then pregnancy diabetes as well, which is normally more temporary situation during pregnancy, normally around about week 24, where certain symptoms happens with pregnant ladies as well. But the biggest things that focus on is type 1 and type 2. Type 1 is the lower percentage. Only about 5 to 10% of people with diabetes normally get type 1. And that is more an autoimmune type of reaction where the body actually fights almost its own cells in the pancreas. And due to that, not enough insulin being formed. And then you get certain symptoms, etc. So type 1 is normally presents more acutely, faster. It's normally easier to diagnose so that properly most of them are diagnosed already and normally at a younger age, as mentioned. Now, your type 2, which accounts for about 90-95%, that is your bigger problem because that sort of develops over time. It's often at a later stage of life, slightly older. You look at age being a risk factor, especially after 45. And that's typically the type of patient that often goes undiagnosed or do not realize that they've got diabetes today. Mm. Always saying that even if a program like today just makes one person somewhere today
aware
that I should be diagnosed or I should check, and he picks it up, you could be saving a life today.
Mm. Now, it's not something that you can catch from somebody else. Is it something that you're just born with? Why does it develop suddenly in the body? What happens? What's the role of insulin?
Yes. Well, where type 1 was more an autoimmune type of reaction, type 2 is one where the insulin is actually being produced, but there's almost like a resistance developing against it so that it's not being effective anymore. It's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. Insulin, of course, being critical in the body, in control of glucose levels, the transport and the absorption of, etc. Genetics plays a large role, so that's one of the things that you normally look at when in the sifting process or trying to diagnose it as well. So you would find what they would call a first generation family member, someone, your grandfather, grandmother, or someone that had diabetes as well. So if there's a family history of diabetes, that's one of your high risk factors to be diagnosed. The genetics, you also see that there's a higher percentage in certain ethnic groups and so on as well. In South Africa, you'd find the colored population has got a higher percentage as well as your Asian type group. So genetics plays an important role. But then in type 2, one specifically as well, weight plays a role. In other words, if you are overweight, there's a low physical activity. In other words, you are not fit or not doing any exercise. Yeah. That's also a higher risk. And then you've got a large percentage of factors that's overlapping with other diseases, like high blood pressure and cholesterol, et cetera, as well, which also increase your risk for it. So in large extent, it's something that they don't always know the exact mechanism for it, but the general feel is that you can sometimes avoid it. Even if you're at high risk, you can watch your weight, physical activity, and especially your also what you eat, healthy eating habits, you can avoid it or help control it so that it doesn't present that early, etc. So that is important as well.
Why is there an increase of incidence of diabetes? What is happening to result in that?
Well, one of the factors that's largely being blamed is urbanization. In other words, people basically coming to the cities and I almost want to say becoming part of the rat race. So our diet gets affected. It's more typically fast foods and junk food and not eating the vegetables and fruit, etc., in our diet that we're supposed to. People are getting more and more into work positions where they're sitting the whole day. They're not getting up. They're not that active anymore as they used to be. So often that is triggering factors as well.
So it can actually develop as you get older. It can suddenly, well, maybe not suddenly, but over time it can appear and start to affect you over years.
Yes, if you look at trying to diagnose it, the criteria that they would normally say is if you're over 45, you, to a large extent, already in a slight risk group. So any person over 45 are recommended to be tested for diabetes or blood sugar at least about every 3 years. Now, if you've got a risk factor, as I've mentioned before, you're physically inactive, you've got high blood pressure, there's a family member with diabetes, cardiovascular problems in the family, or anything in that line, then it doesn't matter what age you are. If you're an adult, in other words, even if you are 20, 21, still in the prime of your life, but you've got this risk factors, they would recommend that you are also tested at least every 3 years.
It doesn't mean to say that if you have a familial or a hereditary factor that you will get diabetes. Does it simply mean that your chance of getting diabetes is increased because your grandfather had it?
That's right, yes. You're just at higher risk.
Higher risk, okay.
And that's right. So you just want to diagnose it again in time. Because diagnosis for me is one of the critical things. So if something that we can take out of this is if you've got a disease, if you've got a problem, especially something that like diabetes, you want to know about it. If you don't know about it, you don't know how to treat it, how to control it, because then it comes to the second aspect, and that is don't let the disease control you, but you need to control your disease. Yeah. You need to the right medication and treatment in order to make sure that you keep it under control.
Okay, we're talking to Professor Roy van Brummelen, and we're talking about diabetes. Numbers to dial 011-883-0702, or you could SMS on 31702. We'll be back after this.